He's here, I told him. We need to speak to Rian and figure out the best plan to get away from here, to leave without hiding, without endangering the desert. His chest swelled with a deep breath.
You want to fight?
I nodded. He let the breath out.
Good. I'll contact Kata and Rian. We'll figure out a plan.
I sighed. I confess, the thought of seeing Mother and Father and everyone again is soothing to me.
He looked me over and nodded. I know. It's strange being away from them for so long, isn't it? And it's only been a few months.
If that isn't the right opportunity for me to leave, I want you to stay with the clans, I told him. He chuckled.
Not a chance. No matter what, our brothers will know of his treatment of you, and you will have a new desert-born Sapia. I would write to them of it already, but they would invade the damn city.
The thought felt warmer than my coat. To have family around again, to feel protected and safe.
I'd grown up itching to get away from the protection of my brothers, and now it was all I wanted.
They can't come. They have their own lives, Kai. You know that. He put his arm around me.
And they would leave everything to defend their sister. Even Gavin will try to come.
I nodded. A few more weeks, then. We can last a few more weeks, can't we? He kissed my temple.
You can last through anything, sister. Don't ever think otherwise. You're much stronger than he is.
I covered his hand on my shoulder.
At least now we know what that awful feeling you had was about, I told him. Certainly things can't get much worse than they are.
He didn't move. Kai? I asked, turning to him.
It was about Calix hitting me, wasn't it?
He shook his head.
No, he said. If anything, the feeling has grown worse. And I can't explain it. But it's not simply about you or me. We are at the crux of it. But it's like an anthill. There is a center, and something dark is streaming away from that center, growing over the earth.
My mouth fell into a grim line. I shook my head. No. We will make it a few more weeks and get to the desert, and all will be well. He didn't lie to me. He didn't say anything. Yellow powder. The procession to Jitra was slow. It was far slower than our first trip from the desert. What had been a 4-day journey to the City of Three took us more than a week. Everywhere we went, people lined the roads, desperate to see us, to touch me, to throw flowers at my feet. We seemed to go out of our way to stop at several castles and cities, mostly so I could be fed, only to retch my food back up, but also so that the army could go ahead of us and ensure the safety of our route. My husband was in a startlingly good mood. In the week since he'd struck me, Calix was considerate, kind, nearly affectionate with me, and still respectful of the distance I asked him to keep. He oversaw all the preparations for our journey with a zeal that disarmed me.
Maybe there's hope, I told Kairos on the 4th day.
We were riding together, the carriage just ahead, and Galen and my guards on horse behind us.
He was attentive to you at dinner, Kairos allowed. That doesn't mean he's a different man, Shalia.
I know, I told him. I know that. But it gives me hope that he could be. That isn't so wrong, is it? He looked at me fondly, but it made me feel foolish.
No, it isn't wrong. But does it mean that we won't be leaving in the desert? All the arrangements have been made.
I sighed. I don't know. Every time I imagine it, I feel uneasy. I think Kata's plan to wait until after the baby is born is smarter. But we will never have so many men as we do in the desert. I feel like the moment I see mother and father, I'll know what to do.
He nodded. They're ready to eject the trifectate. They can do that after we leave, if you prefer.
He looked weary. You aren't sleeping well? I asked. He shook his head.
No. I thought it would be better once we left the capital, but the feeling grows far worse. When I do sleep, I dream of being buried alive, being choked on dirt and earth and ash.
Shivers ran over me. You don't think... my power...
No, he said quickly. No. The whole thing. It tastes of hate. And hate is not something in your heart, Shalia. Certainly not in your gift.
What can we do? I asked him. How can we stop it? He shook his head.
I don't know. I'm hoping the visions will show me how to stop it, but I can't control them. I can't make them show me anything.
I nudged my horse closer to his so I could take his hand. And trying means you're not sleeping. His shoulders lifted, and he squeezed his hand in mine.
I have to try.
He let go of my hand. I wish we would move faster. I'm so desperate just to be there. It seems so long since we've been home, I said.
Kairos' smile was weak. We're nomadic, Shalia. We don't really have a home.
I grinned at him. You know what I mean. Family. The whole clan gathered to celebrate.
He nodded. It will be wonderful.
His expression fell quickly, though, and I could tell he was weary to the point of pain. Whatever these visions were, they were taking an awful toll on him. By the seventh day, we were climbing higher into the mountains, and the air was growing dry and warm. We had eaten at the castle we'd stayed at during the night, but barely an hour into the ride, my stomach twisted hard. Oh! I yelped, dropping from my horse fast enough that I almost fell, voiding my stomach on the side of the road. The dirt was packed hard, and the mess splashed onto my dress and coat, and I even got a little in my hair.
Shy,
Cairo said, helping me up. I was staring at my hair. I can't... I thought we would make the desert by nightfall. I felt suddenly and stupidly close to tears. I don't want them to see me with vomit in my hair and on my dress, I told him. I hate being sick all the time.
I know,
he told me, putting his arm around my back. Ugh, I said, bending over as I retched again. There wasn't much more to come up. But it hurt, my body trying hard to expel things that weren't there.
My love,
I heard Calyx ask behind me.
Are you all right? She will be in a moment,
Cairo said, braiding my hair fast away from my face. My stomach heaved again, and I straightened afterward, nodding. I rinsed my mouth with some water, staying close to Kairos like I might fall over. I want to walk for a little while, I told Calyx.
Love, you look like you're about to pass out as it is,
he told me gently.
You should ride in the carriage.
I clutched my stomach at the thought. No, I think that will make it worse. He sighed, but nodded.
Very well.
He turned and shouted orders to his guards, that we would travel only as fast as I was walking. He kissed my temple, but he didn't stay beside me, going instead to his carriage, calling one of his caesatori to ride with him. Cairo stayed off his horse, and Galen and Zeph appeared behind me. "Shouldn't you be riding?" I asked, glancing at them.
Zeph stretched.
I feel like a walk, don't you, Commander? Damned relief, if you ask me,
Galen said. I shook my head, but smiled at them.
Besides, I protect the Princess in Progress,
Zeph said, looking at my belly. I covered the bump with my hands. We don't know it's a girl, I said, casting a wary glance at the carriage ahead. I didn't think my husband would be pleased at the thought. And that is not a real title.
It should be,
Zeph insisted.
I'm very excited to see Zeph as the baby guard,
Kyra said.
I've never seen him frightened of something.
Zeph looked offended.
I'm excellent with children,
he grumbled.
You look like you're excellent at eating children,
Kairos told him. Galen laughed at this.
Children, maybe, but a baby? I can't think you'd have any idea what to do with it.
Zeph cast around as if taking on challengers.
I will be a formidable baby guard. This is not up for debate. And besides, the baby is part of the queen, and I protect the queen. And I'm good at that, so I'll be good at protecting the baby.
I giggled. I have no doubt, Zeph. You'll probably be the first to give her a sword. Zeph lit up at this, but Galen shook his head.
Now wait a moment. No sharp objects until she's at least 13.
Laughing, I smiled at Galen. It felt forbidden and strange. We hadn't been alone since Trizala, and though I thought of our kiss constantly, the pain from the argument that followed seemed more real, a heavy weight in my chest. Being able to speak with him and laugh with him now, when it had happened so rarely since Trizala, felt suddenly intimate. 13? I asked. That's a little specific. He crossed his arms.
Well, I want her to know how to wield a weapon before boys start coming around.
Cairo smiled.
What boys? They'll have to go through all of us and half the dragon clan to get to her.
Galen smiled and nodded at Kairos.
I like that line of thought.
Great skies, I said, shaking my head. You all know so little. This girl will have you all in knots before she's a year.
When you say great skies,
Galen asked, lacing his arms behind his back and stepping closer to me.
Is that a god?
I felt the threads shiver closer to my fingers at the nearness of him. We don't have gods, I told him. We have spirits. But we consider the sky to be a sort of deity, I suppose. There are people who can tell the future in the clouds, and we live and die by what we see above us. Our lives are very dependent on the weather and climate. He nodded.
Do you pray to the skies?
We talk to the skies, thank the skies for bounties. When we go to the desert, the ceremony to bless the baby is asking the skies for good fortune.
Does the sky ever respond?
I laughed at this. Of course! We speak to the sky, and the sky always speaks back in his own way. Rain, sun, clouds, lightning. These are the sky's way of talking. Galen glanced up.
What is the sky saying now?
There were few clouds, a gentle heat, and a bright round sun. The sky wants us to get to the desert, I told him. He's making it easy for us. He smiled.
It's strange to think that you don't have a god to judge your actions, to pass down edicts.
My shoulders lifted. The sky is something far beyond my understanding. If something must judge or dictate, to me that seems little more than a powerful man, doesn't it? My eyes strayed dangerously close to the carriage with Calyx in it.
Maybe,
he said. and his eyes followed mine.
I drew in a deep breath.
My head was throbbing. My whole body ached from retching so often.
"You're in pain?"
he asked, turning toward me a little. "Just my head," I told him. "As thrilling as it must seem, voiding my stomach every other time I eat isn't very pleasant."
"And here I was so jealous,"
he said, brushing my hair off my face. His hand settled on my shoulder, reaching under my braid to rub my neck. "Oh," I murmured, leaning into his touch, ignoring the danger of his skin on mine because of the relief it brought me. "Keep doing that. That helps."
"When we were in Trizala,"
he said, taking advantage of the closeness to speak quietly to me.
"And you said your power is triggered by something. What is it?"
He was so close, and the others had drifted back. Whether it was his hand on my neck or the words or what they called up inside me, warmth rushed through my skin. "That's not fair," I told him, "bargaining a neck rub for information." His big hand was warm, spanning over my neck and softening my muscles.
"I'm quite ruthless."
My eyes met his for a tantalizing second before I pulled away, and losing his hand on my neck seemed to shoot nausea to my stomach. "I can't, Galen. Not here. Not ever." He sighed, but stepped closer and resumed, gently rubbing my skin.
"Why?"
"You said we can't talk about it."
"No one can hear,"
he whispered. Without moving much, I saw Zeph and Kairos laughing, almost 5 paces back, and no one else near us.
"Every day I think about the haunting things you say, that you've been imagining things between us. That something we did or said or felt in that cave triggers what you can do." "What is it, Shalia?"
Anger bubbled up inside me, and I pulled away again, turning to face him. "No, Galen, you can't do this. We can't do this. And you already know, or you suspect at least," I hissed, trying to keep my voice down. "You want to hear me say that I care about you? Will that make it easier when I have your brother's child? When he ceases to honor the fact that I don't want him to touch me? Will that help?" Galen looked stunned. Then he looked away, shaking his head like he was trying to clear it. I looked over my shoulder and caught Kairos's watchful gaze, but kept walking.
"Wait,"
Galen said.
"There are many, many things in what you just said. Your power is triggered by..."
He stopped and didn't say that word.
"Caring? About people?"
I nodded.
"When I returned home from the south and met you in the courtyard, the stones fell apart into the sand. Was that you?"
My face burned with heat. I nodded.
"It happened almost the moment I kissed your hand,"
he said. I had hoped he would never put that together. "Galen," I said, shaking my head in warning. "It wasn't wise to think about that, much less discuss it." He looked ahead, a strange expression on his handsome face, his chest rising and falling faster than was merited by our walk.
"And he hasn't. He hasn't touched you?"
His eyes slid to me at this, running over me like a physical touch. I crossed my arms. "I thought my guards reported to you."
Color bloomed on his cheeks. "Not about that."
"No," I said, looking down. "Not since he struck me." He nodded.
"That's a good reason."
Chewing my lip for a moment, I hesitated to add, "There are many reasons." He looked to me in question,
I just can't stand the thought of him touching me, I whispered. Not after Thrizala.
He took that surprisingly well,
Kaelin said. I shrugged my shoulders. He wanted a baby, and now he has one. Besides, he's trying to prove to me that he actually cares about me. I shook my head. I don't believe him. I couldn't look at him, even though I felt his eyes on me.
I can't imagine anyone not caring for you,
he told me in a soft, gentle murmur. I tried to laugh, but it didn't quite come out that way.
Here,
he said, passing me water.
You should drink more.
I nodded, taking a sip. I passed it back to him, rubbing my own neck. He watched my hand.
I'm sorry,
he said soft.
I shouldn't have brought any of this up.
No, I told him with a sigh. You shouldn't have.
I feel like my whole life, I'm desperately trying to hide who I am.
And with you,
I think you just see it. Or it seems that way.
His shoulder lifted.
I can't help myself.
I nodded. I wish it were different. You deserve to have someone who sees you.
You do too,
he said.
You deserve someone who loves you.
Pulling my coat tighter, I looked at the ground and walked a little faster. We didn't make the desert by nightfall. We stopped at Vestai Atalo's castle, and he and his wife made a great fuss over me, saying their bedroom with the stars in the ceiling must have given us a child so soon. We returned to the room with the bathing chamber, and Calix ordered the servants to draw a bath for me. When I slipped into the water, he ordered them out.
May I come in?
Calix asked from the doorway. I looked at him. He was watching my body through the water, and I felt exposed. Calix, I murmured, covering myself, looking away from him.
I just want to talk. Is that all right?
He asked. I considered for a moment, then nodded. He came in, sitting beside the bath.
Do you remember the first night we spent here?
He asked. I nodded again.
You washed my feet for me,
he said.
No one had done something so simple and selfless like that for me in a very long time. I never wanted to love you, Shalia. Not after everything with Amandina. But that night, I started to care for you.
I stared at the surface of the water.
I did an awful thing to you, Shalia. But I did it because I thought you were just like her. I thought you were deceiving me. But it occurs to me, we haven't had much opportunity for the truth between us.
My eyes shifted over to him, surprised. No, I agreed.
Is there anything you want to tell me?
He asked, meeting my gaze.
Confess to me.
I hugged my knees in the water. He couldn't possibly know, could he? I had so many secrets. But no, I couldn't trust him with any of them. No, Calix, I said softly. Is there anything you want to tell me? A muscle in his jaw twitched.
Dene took a sorcerer to the lake,
he said.
They still couldn't find it. I need to know if you will support me damaging the lake, draining it, or blasting around it to find what's hidden.
I frowned. If you find some indication that the elixir is there, we can discuss the means to retrieve it. But damaging the lake isn't just about the elixir. It's about the water reserve for the desert, I told him. That would be incredibly dangerous for the clans. He heaved out a sigh, but he nodded.
Maybe we can come up with a way around that. Alternative water stores or something.
I reached for his hand. We'll figure it out. But Calix, what if it's not there? What if you can't find it, and you have no way to defend yourself against the Elemente? His face pinched into a deep scowl.
We have to keep looking for it.
But if you can't find it, Calix, what then?
This feels like a trick, wife. If we can't find the elixir, we need to start eliminating this threat before it grows more powerful. But I don't think that's what you want me to say.
Perhaps you should consider protecting them, I told him. Working with them, rather than try so hard to eradicate them. Consider how they might benefit your reign. It would remove all the power the Resistance has. It would defend us. It would achieve peace without death. He stood, shaking his head.
That defies everything I believe, wife. Have you forgotten? One of them will kill me.
Maybe because you try to eradicate them, I told him. And you have an heir now. It seems the prophecy is far more complicated than you believe. I want you to consider it. He paced in the room, shaking his head as he went, and I felt fear gather within me. Then he stopped abruptly.
You don't believe in the god,
he told me, staring at me.
That's the real problem here. You've never believed in the god. So you will never see me as his vessel, his voice, his arm. You put all your faith in the desert, in their way of thinking. But tomorrow you'll see. You aren't one of them anymore, wife. You're mine. This is where you belong. This is the only loyalty.
Stunned silent, I stared at him, my mouth open but still.
Rest,
he snapped.
I'll see you in the morning.
We left the next morning, and I was dressed in my new, more modest clothing. Even Calix decided against the carriage and opted for a horse instead, and we rode proudly. Much of the army had gone on ahead, and as we neared the land bridge preceding the pass, we saw them lining the road. I frowned. Why aren't they in Jitra? I asked Calix. He glanced at them.
The same reason as always. Clans don't allow soldiers in Jitra. They can go into the pass and to the southern edge of the city, but not inside. Your family is very proud, very strong, and the desert is difficult to breach when they are fortressed inside. Which is, of course, why peace between us was so necessary.
His eyes flicked to me.
But I don't want to spoil the day.
You needn't lie about wanting peace. I know all you wanted was the elixir. Turning my head to look at him, his gaze was sharp and assessing.
Yes, he said. But you are hardly one to criticize me for being calculating.
Calculating? I repeated. How so? There was something raw in his eyes.
I gave you a chance last night to explain. I know you've been communicating with your family, asking them to hide you from me. To steal you from me.
I shook my head. Had he discovered Kairos's plans? Calix, I never asked them. But he continued.
And then you even admit that you don't believe in my greatest cause. You don't want to find the elixir. You want me to welcome those sorcerers into my kingdom.
Calix, stop, I said. Please. I'm not leaving you, and I didn't say those things last night to upset you. It was just an idea. Please, I don't want to fight about this today. He drew a breath, looking forward, and slowly let it out.
Finding that elixir, eradicating the sorcerers, is the most important thing, wife. More important than anything else.
We were nearing the land bridge,
and I could see the mouth of the pass ahead. I know, Calix, I started, but I stopped. Just within the pass, I saw my mother and father, my father standing tall with a torch in his hand, waiting for us. My mother pressed against his side, and even from here, it looked like she was crying happily at the sight of me. My tall brothers beamed, and Katrin was struggling to hold Gavin from running forward. My breath caught. How did they? I asked.
Calix looked at me. I had my soldiers tell them we were arriving, if they wanted to greet you here.
Filled with joy and gratitude, I smiled at him. Thank you, Calix, truly, I told him, and I dismounted. I saw soldiers, maybe 10 or so, walking out, walking away from my family. I noticed a yellow powder on a man's boots as he jogged past me. Gavin distracted me, though, breaking free from Katrin to run ahead. Kaelin came from behind us, hard-faced and riding forward to the entrance to the pass. A moment before Galen got there, I saw Calix smile, a dark, evil expression. And then the world exploded. He knows. I was on the ground, my head was ringing, but I didn't feel any pain. I struggled to my feet and someone touched me. Kairos! His mouth was moving. Shalia. Shalia. I saw him mouth my name.
Shalia!
He yelled. Shaking my head, I nodded. I'm fine! I'm fine! I said, turning sharply. We couldn't see anything but a thick reddish cloud of dust and ash. I couldn't think of anything else. We ran forward and my feet were strong and sure, even as my head was foggy and thick. My feet will never fail me. I saw Galen first. His horse was writhing on the ground and he had been thrown. Galen was groaning and starting to move, and I didn't wait to see if he was all right. I didn't care. The boy's arm was the next thing I saw. It was at a strange angle, a layer of dirt on it, and stretched out like he was reaching for me still, like all he wanted was to get to me. Before I knew what I was doing, I slid to my knees and pushed the rock off his small body with my power, and it rushed away from him. Gav, I whispered. I pulled his body to me, and it was leaden and still. His back was covered with blood, misshapen where the big rock had hit him. I turned him over and pulled him against me. Gavin! I yelled. Gavin! He didn't move. His face was scraped and bloody, his nose broken. His eyes were open, but they couldn't see me.
I'll find the others,
Galen said. I hadn't known he was near me, and just as soon he disappeared into the dust. The others. I wiped desperately at the dirt on Gavin's face, trying to pull it off. There was too much of it, and my hands were trembling. Why wasn't he moving? Why couldn't he just move? Gavin! I cried, shaking him.
Shalia!
Kairos yelled.
Someone could still be alive.
Alive? Gavin was dead. I knew that, but... I stood, feeling sick and dizzy, pushing forward into the cloud that shrouded my family. I saw Kairos crouched and throwing rocks off a small body. I saw her hair. Katrin! I screamed. Kairos looked up at me.
Find the others, he said,
his eyes wild, his chest heaving. Nodding, I ran into the smoke. Galen was pushing a large boulder that was near the start of the pass. All around me I felt the threads, angry and pulsing, curling around my fingertips and squeezing. I pushed the boulder off with my power like it was a pebble, sending it flying into the crevasse under the land bridge. And Galen turned and looked at me for a moment before dashing in. As soon as I could see the rocks, I moved them out of my way. And in moments we had uncovered the tangled mass of bodies. My father, my brothers, my whole family. I dove forward, but Galen shook his head at me, going to each one and carefully checking them. When he reached the last one, he closed his eyes for a moment and picked up my mother's body.
"What are you doing?"
Kairos roared, trying to climb over rocks to get to him.
"Don't touch her. Don't you touch her!"
Galen stood tall with her broken body in his arms.
"She's dead, Kairos. Let me get your family out of here."
"She's dead." Galen took a step and the movement suddenly seemed sideways to me, twisted wrong. "I am a daughter of the desert." The world took a vicious spin, and then Kairos' arms were around me.
"Shalia!"
he yelled.
"Shalia!"
Something hurt. "I am a daughter of the desert, and my feet will never fail me." Lightning crashed somewhere around us, and the moment froze, the light illuminating the dust in a distended vision. In the flash, I saw Catherine, the moment she had been born. I had been the first to hold her, secreted away in the caves below Jitra, where the fires were stoked high to fill the cave with heat and smoke, so the spirits of our ancestors could walk among us and greet the baby. I brought Catherine, the tiny thing who hadn't cried yet, to my mother. When we touched the three women of our clan, I felt something. Something otherworldly and powerful, filling my body, filling the space. And then the flash of light ended, and the smoke was full of nothing but the dead. "Kairos, help me up," I said. But something was wrong. My arms weren't moving. The words sounded foreign and misshapen even to my ears. Everything was wrong. The threads around me felt like they were strangling me, bloated thick and grotesque, tugging the world at odd angles. There was pain. My power was turning on me, clawing at my throat, wrapping around my hips and causing a deep ache that made me cry out.
"Shalia, you're bleeding,"
Kairos told me, and his eyes were stark, wide open and wet. Bleeding? No. No. They were bleeding. They had stopped bleeding, because without a beating heart, they would never bleed again. "I am a daughter of the desert, and my feet will never fail me." I couldn't feel Kai's hands on me. I felt weightless, ungrounded, like I couldn't tell the sky from the stones.
"Shalia!"
he screamed at me, and my heart burst at the terror plain on his face. The threads pulsed, rippling with anger, with hurt, with fury. The pulse came into my hands, touched my fingertips, and pushed. My power ripped out of me. It felt like retching, like my body was fighting my mind for control, and my mind was losing badly. I saw rocks, from pebbles to boulders, rising up into the air and beginning to swirl around me. I felt the ground beneath my feet, and I tried desperately to focus. Kairos wasn't touching me anymore. He was on the ground, his hands curled around his face. Dirt was thickening the curtain of moving rock, responding to me, waiting patiently for my command. I gave my mind over to my power. I rushed out along the rocks, along the land bridge, along the pass. It wasn't as simple as seeing, but where the rocks and dust existed, I could feel. The pass was blocked by rocks, but not gone completely. The mountains still stood. I reached out farther until I could feel Jitra, what was left of Jitra. I could feel the wounds in the earth where the caved-out rock had broken, where heavy stone collapsed on unyielding bodies. I pulled it off. I could feel the heartbeats where people were clustered together, holding one another tight, praying for safety. And all that stood between them and my husband's yellow powder were a few rocks in the pass. I saw soldiers at the edge of my vision, through the rotating cloud of boulders that encircled me. And suddenly I knew what to do. The desert would not be at risk. The desert would not fall, and whatever treasures my people protected, Calix would never touch them. A scream tore out of me as I reached for the land bridge, breaking, snapping, tearing the rocks to pieces like a twig over my knee. My work was rough and crude, but all I wanted was to cut the desert off from the Bonelands, to collapse the path into the mountains it came from. The land bridge broke in the center first, and with its support gone, the rocks began shearing off in huge, heavy boulders. My power clawed at them, crashing them down one after the other, until the land bridge was nearly gone, a jagged mouth of teeth laughing at Calix's audacity, his hate, his mortality. My work faltered, and it took several seconds for me to feel the pain. Something was burning in my shoulder, and my power was slipping from my hands. I twisted, looking at my shoulder to see the shaft of an arrow sticking out strangely behind me. My flying boulders tumbled down into the crevasse, and a crack formed in the ground near my feet. The moving dirt and rocks wobbled in their pattern, flying out, evading my grasp. My knees went weak and I fell, and suddenly all the rocks dropped to the ground with me. It was then that I saw the blood Kairos must have seen, seeping down my skirts. My baby. My daughter. A new scream came out of me, frightened and trembling and wild, shaking my lungs and my hands and my skin. Then I saw boots striding toward me, and then another set. I looked up and saw my husband, still a distance away, while his soldiers closed in on me. My hands trembled, and I realized, he knows. The soldiers grabbed me and pulled me up, and I thrashed against their hands. Their grips didn't even tighten as I fought, and I realized I could barely control my limbs. I had nothing left. I cast around, searching for Kairos in the clouds of dust. I heard Osmost shrieking over the shouts of the soldiers, but I couldn't see my brother. Kai! I screamed. Kai! Kai! I heard a roar, and I looked over to see Zeth fighting off at least 7 of Calix's men. I couldn't see Theron. Zeth drove his elbow into the face of one man, and the guard dropped so fast, I wondered if Zeth had killed him. Galen jumped in between them, tackling Zeth down to the ground. Zeth fought him, but it wasn't like he fought the guards. Galen said something to him, and my big protector stopped. Both men looked at me, and I shook my head. "Help me!" I screamed. "Please help me!" Galen's eyes met mine for a long moment. He was filthy, his handsome face covered in dirt and dust, making his green eyes stand out more. He looked devastated. But he wasn't moving. He kept Zeth pinned, and even Zeth had stopped fighting. Galen never moved. He didn't even have the decency to turn his face from mine. "You coward!" I shrieked. "You damned coward!" A hand struck my cheek, and I turned forward to see my husband. He grabbed my chin.
"Did you really think that my own brother would betray me?"
he snapped.
"For you?"
His words were so forceful that spittle landed on my face. I flinched, but his fingers were gripping me too hard to move.
I swear to the three-faced god,
he growled at me.
If our child still lives, I will tear it out of you, and then I will wipe your existence from this earth. Never will a queen of the Trifectet be a filthy sorceress.
Calyx pointed to a carriage, and my heart seized. He wouldn't take me back to the City of Three. If I went into that carriage, I would never leave his grasp alive. I was sure of it. I called for my power, waiting for the threads to curl around my hands as the man pushed me farther. I made my hands into fists, bursting the pain from the arrow in my shoulder. I shook my fingers out. Nothing. I remembered Katha's advice, and I tried to call up my memories of Gavin rubbing his face into my stomach. Gavin's tiny arm covered in blood and dirt. Katrin, not far from him, twisted and broken. My baby. My baby. My baby. The guards shoved me into the carriage and brought rope to tie me to the floor. I curled around my knees. I had no power left. Missing. By the time they pulled me from the carriage, it had been long enough that my body disdained the movement. My skin was thick with dirt, blood crusted in places that made it feel like I was tearing a new wound open when I moved. It felt like the arrowhead shot into my shoulder hadn't been removed, even though they snapped the shaft off. Every muscle ached and cried, and I could hardly stand on my own two feet. Long enough in the carriage, long enough with my despair, and my feet almost failed me. It was a whole new heartbreak when my body was already crowded with others. I knew by the smell of the air that we were near the mountains. We were on a narrow path covered by dense forest, and in front of us a sheer rock face loomed with a small door in it. The door opened, and torchlight flickered, the only light I had to see by. A single guard took me now, carrying me in his arms. I curled my fingers, searching for the threads, but they were still gone. Without a way to fight back, I let myself be carried. He took me into a long hallway that burrowed neatly into the rock. I couldn't tell how long he walked. All that caught my gaze were the moving, jumping shadows of the light on the ceiling of the tunnel. I heard metal clinking and moving, a low, dark sound somewhere ahead. A high-pitched scream rang out, strangled and disembodied, sliding over the walls like a ghost. The guard's hands tightened on me, but he didn't stop or show any other reaction. The tunnel widened, and the jumping shadows on the ceiling receded from me.
There,
I heard Calyx say. The guard turned and moved into an open room. The rock here was gray, not like the warm red of Jitra, and the light on it made everything look wet and slick. There was a huge stone altar in the center of the round room, hooks hanging above it with lanterns swinging, illuminating the girl who was lying on top of it. She wore a dirty dress that might have been blue to start with, and part of her hair was cut off, revealing wounds that had been stitched up on her head. One arm was splayed out, and her skin was an indecipherable mass of bruising, blood, and cuts. Blood puddled beneath her on the ground. I stopped looking at her long enough to notice six or more doors around the circle where the girl was. One guard strode ahead of us to open a door directly behind the girl's head, and the guard holding me walked in and put me gently down on a hard bench with a pillow and a thin, small blanket.
Get the Caesatory,
Kalix said, standing in the doorway. The guard left without a word, and I didn't move, glancing at Kalix before staring at the wall.
Comfortable?
Kalix snarled. I shifted my hips a little, but it hurt, and I stopped moving.
You're going to die in here,
Kalix told me.
But not before I discover all your secrets. You are the first sorceress who can command the earth that I've ever seen. And before you die, I will know everything there is to know.
You are your own end, I whispered. You have struck out against the desert, against your queen. Your people will revolt, and they will unseat you. They will kill you.
Really?
He snarled.
They never seemed to mind before.
I stared at the wall. I wanted to ask him what he meant. But he wanted to tell me. He wanted to gloat about his sick deeds. And I wouldn't play into such desires, even now when I had nothing.
My king,
someone murmured, and Kalix stepped aside. A man in black robes came into the room, and his eyes swept over me, slow and assessing.
I will examine her, my king. I'll stay,
Kalix said, not leaving the open doorway.
My queen,
the man said, dragging a stool to the bed.
Could you lie on your back?
If you think I let you touch me, you're mad, I snapped.
I mean only to see if your baby is alive, he said. I've been well trained in such arts.
My body shook. But that if my baby was alive, made me put aside my fears and indignity. I lay flat on my back, and he put his hands under my skirt. I wanted to shut my eyes, but instead I looked at Kalix, tears coming out of my eyes as the man told me my body had ruptured, and the baby couldn't survive like that. When he took his hands away, I shut my eyes, curling toward the wall.
Very well,
Kalix said.
Dress her shoulder. Feed her something. She will need her strength for later.
I shut my eyes and must have slept for a while, but it never felt like sleep. It felt just like being awake, the same numbness, the same pain, only that I was in darkness. But I woke with a start, jumping to the door. There was a tiny grate that was too high for me to see out of, but I could hear a girl. The same girl? I had no way of knowing. Wailing in pain.
Again, Dara!
I heard a male voice yell. She cried out again, and it trailed off into piteous sobs. Dara! The girl from the ship on the communes. The girl whom my husband promised to try fairly. A girl he'd clearly been experimenting on for as long as he promised me he hadn't.
Again!
The answering scream was different. More raw. Like she had reached a new level of pain.
Again!
I fell back from the door, as instead of a scream, a ball of fire rose up in the chamber, blazing fast and extinguishing.
Write that down,
I heard the man murmur. I couldn't sleep the rest of the night. The screams ended not long after that, but there were still grunts, shuffles, noises that haunted me. 6 doors, at least. I wondered how many of us he had to torture. I wondered where my brothers were, mourning without me. I wondered if anyone was able to burn the bodies of my family so they could return to the skies. I wondered how I was supposed to return a child to the skies when there was nothing to burn. Hours later, a guard opened my door.
Come,
he said, and gave me a cloth and a chip of soap. There were other women coming out of their cells, and one young man who, for a wild moment, I thought was my brother Aiden. It wasn't, of course. I would never see Aiden's face again, and imagining him into this hell didn't change that. The guards led us deeper into the rock. I heard the rushing water before I saw it, and they led us into an underground river. The others didn't need to be told what to do. They took off their clothes, putting them in neat piles, and waded into the water. Slowly, I followed their example, glancing at their bodies without trying to be rude. I saw scars before I could really look at faces. Long, thin lines from a whip, or maybe a knife. Long, deep wounds that were crusted with blood. Missing hair, missing fingers, missing eyes. My skin could barely feel the cold as I stepped into the water. The river was moving fast enough that it plucked painfully at the things crusted to my skin, peeling the day before away without my consent.
"You're the queen," one said, looking at me. She was small, everything about her tiny, with dark hair that was long and knotted.
She covered herself up, like suddenly this made our nudity inappropriate.
What are you... You're the queen, she said again. A taller, older woman touched the girl's shoulder, and I saw her hand was missing two fingers, raw red stumps where they used to be.
And just the same as us, it seems. I'm Iona, she said softly to me.
Shalia, I murmured.
She nodded grimly.
Do you have the natural powers?
She asked. I nodded.
Earth, I told her.
You?
She swallowed.
Water,
she said, running her hands into the river.
You haven't healed yourself, I whispered, looking at her hand. The younger girl looked up at Iona,
and Iona looked confused.
Heal?
She breathed.
I know someone with your power, I said. She can heal people through it.
I'm not very strong,
she said, shaking her head.
Wash!
The guards bellowed at us. The women flinched, turning to scrape their bodies with the soap. The young man was already finished, climbing out of the water to take his cloth and dry off, then slowly put his clothes on. He was ashen and weak. I scrubbed slowly at the dirt, ash, dust, and blood. That was all that remained of my family. The river took it, folding every little piece of horror into its waters, until I had none left, until my body was frozen and clean. I didn't want to be clean. I didn't want to ever move on from the last moment when the world was safe, when my family was smiling, when my baby was alive. Blood still wept out of my body, and the river stole it from me.
The Trail of Smoke. When they brought us back to the central chamber, the table in the middle was empty, and everyone else was pushed back into their rooms except for me.
Calyx came from down a shadowed hallway. He took a breath and nodded at me.
Bring her.
I pulled back, but the guards grabbed me, dragging me forward as I fought and twisted and flailed. They brought chains out, and they shackled my wrists and yanked until I was on my feet, standing away from the table, unable to go far. I tugged against my bonds as my heart pounded, making every inch of me panic and hurt.
Stop!
Calyx growled, coming over to me. I shook my head, sucking in breath too fast through my nose, the sound high and reedy.
I won't hurt you,
Calyx told me. I could hardly catch my breath, but I shouted, You're going to kill me! His throat worked.
Eventually. It doesn't have to hurt. I don't want to see you in pain. I just need you to show us your power. and I will end all this. Do you understand?
Flexing my hands, reaching for my power, I shook my head. It's gone, Calyx.